Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to take this opportunity. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. You will also find some information there about us. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Just come with an open Bible and an open mind, and let us help you show your need for God in your life and have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, for the month of June and July, which will be my last 2 months of doing this radio program because I am moving, I am going to center upon the subject of conversion. And we're going to be looking at 8 different conversions in the book of Acts. We begin this morning with the conversion of the 3,000. This is recorded in Acts 2, verse 1 through 47. The word conversion means to bring over from one belief view to a party of another. It means to change from one form to function in another. In Acts chapter 2, we read, "And said, Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." In Acts 3:19, it says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." We also read, "Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he has turned a sinner from the error of his way, and will save a soul from death, and cover a multitude of sins." That's from James 5 and verse number 19 and 20. So conversion is not merely a change in action, it's a change in knowledge, it's a change in our conviction, it's a change of our allegiance from the world to God, and it's a change in our thinking that results a change in our conduct. It's a change of commitment, resulting in a change of relationship and identity, a change in who we are, how we talk, where we go, and what we do. That is true conversion. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 19, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and simple, making the wise simple." Psalms 19, verse 7. Let us begin this morning by giving you a brief analysis of what we read in the conversion of the 3,000 in Acts 2. In verses 1 through 4, we see the apostles are baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is in agreement with a promise that Jesus made to them in John 14:26, 15:26, and in chapter 16, 7 and 8. And also to fulfill the instruction that he gave them in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 8, to wait in Jerusalem till they would receive power from on high. In verses 5 through 13, the people present and their response to what they had seen and heard in their own language and in their own tongue, which is languages. And then in verse 14 through 38, we have Peter's sermon, his proposition, the proof, and the conclusion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Messiah. In verses 37 through 41, we read about the effects of the truth had on many who heard the truth that day, their response, the instruction they were given, and their compliance. And then lastly, in verse 41 through 47, those converted continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, having been added to the Lord and His church. The significance of this account of conversion is it is the beginning of the Great Commission. At the end of Matthew chapter 28 and in Mark 16 and in Luke 24, God sent the apostles out to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. The very first to hear the gospel and to become Christians were the Jews who were in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. This marks the beginning of the gospel message being presented to man, and it begins the church. The account does not stand alone, secluded from others. Every particular thing found is not part of the repeated pattern. Some things are not specifically mentioned, but they are clearly implied. The elements of this conversion are consistent with every other account and necessary for every person who is truly converted in Christ. And we will see that as we go through these conversions. Fulfilling Jesus' promise in Matthew 3, verse 11, that he would baptize with the Holy Spirit, we see the Holy Spirit falls on the apostles. The Holy Spirit baptism was limited to the apostles. Why? Because of the promises made that we already made reference to in John 14, 15, and 16, and also to the per the instructions that God gave in Acts 1, verse 1 through 8, when they're told to wait in Jerusalem till they will be endued with power from on high. It confirms the authenticity of the message preached. Remember, Mark 16 and 20 and Hebrews 2 and 4 says that signs would accompany the preaching of the word in order to confirm its authenticity. Those present to the initial response in verse 5 through 13 are 17 different nations that were all over the world that were present for the feast of Pentecost. The significance of the day of Pentecost was it was one of the three annual feasts that the Jews had to present themselves in Jerusalem. Devout Jews from every nation under heaven, including proselytes, were gathered there. They heard the apostles speaking in their own language the wonderful works of God. And some wondered with curiosities, and others mocked. But notice that they all heard in their own language. That's what tongues are. They are languages. They're not gibberish. They're understandable language. The events were the fulfillment of prophecy, indicating the beginning of the kingdom of God when all men would call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. We read that in Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32, and it is quoted in Peter's sermon in verses 14 through 21 of Acts 2. Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior, the Lord, and the King. The miracles of Jesus in verse 22, they were evidence of the authenticity of his claim to be the Son of God. The crucifixion was according to God's foreknowledge. We read that in Acts 2, verse 23. God raised him from the dead, we are told in Peter's sermon in verse 24. And this agrees with the prophecy of Psalms chapter 16, verse 6 through 11, that mentions the promise that was made to David. And in verse 30 and 31, he sat upon David's throne. And that is the fulfillment of Psalms 132 and verse 11, that Jesus was set on the spiritual throne of David. The apostles' testimony is in agreement with the prophets. Verse 32, the testimony of the Holy Spirit is in agreement with the prophets and with the Holy Spirit. And it was confirmed by the Old Testament as it was quoted from Psalms 110 in verses 34 and 35. But I want us to begin to notice what happened in verse number 36. Look at verse number 36 if you have your Bibles. It says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. This is the conclusion of Peter's sermon. He told them that they had murdered the Messiah. They had murdered the Son of God. Now, when they heard this, what is this? What did they hear that caused them to ask the question we're about to read? This is the gospel. This, what they heard, was the gospel, and they were convicted of their sin of crucifying the Son of God. What did they ask? They were cut to the heart. That means they were convicted. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, notice the answer is not, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is believe. All you have to do is say the sinner's prayer. No, that wasn't the answer they got. Look at the answer they got in verse 38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now notice, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call." Now notice, he tells them that this promise of salvation for remission of sin in Christ Jesus is to the Jews, but also to those who are far off. That adds reference to the Gentiles. The Gentiles will also be recipients of the promise of the gospel, of the saving gospel message of God, which is God's power to save, Romans 1:16. And the preaching of that gospel pricked these individuals to ask the apostles what they needed to do in order to cleanse their sin. Now notice in verse number 41, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day there were about 3,000 souls added to them." Now notice, they were baptized. Why were they baptized? Because that's what they were told to do. They were told to repent, that means to turn from their sin, and then they were told to be baptized. Why? In order to call on the name of the Lord. And calling on the name of the Lord means calling on his authority. And calling on the authority of the Lord, they would have their sins remitted. And the Bible says that 3,000 of them gladly obeyed that instruction and did what the apostles told them to do. They repented and they were baptized for, and that word for means, in order to obtain remission of sin. Now notice in verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." What were they added to? They weren't added to the temple. They weren't added to the law of Moses. They were added to the Lord's church. And so what do we see in Acts 2? We see a number of things. We see the fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Spirit falling on the apostles, as we read in John 14, 15, and 16. Also, according to the instruction in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 8. We see that tongues are not gibberish, they are languages, because every nation that was gathered there understood the message in their own native tongue. Read verses 5 through 13. And this is fulfillment of prophecy, because Peter quotes it verbatim in verse 14 through 21. He quotes Joel 2, 28 through 32. And we see in his sermon that he acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ, that it was foreknew by God that he would come and die, and he would give his life as a ransom for many. And he charged the Jews that they had killed the Messiah and that they had put him to death by lawless hands. And because of the conviction they heard from the gospel, they were pricked in their hearts. They asked what to do, and when they received the instruction in verse 38, 3,000 of them did exactly what they were called upon to do, and they were added to the church in verse 47. And so these are the first recipients of the gospel of Christ, the first to receive the grace of God through the blood of Christ in order to be members of the kingdom and to be part of the Lord's church and to be joint heirs with him. And so they heard, they believed, they repented, they confessed, and they were baptized. That's the pattern we see begun here in Acts chapter 2.